good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Right now, you can get a great deal on a John Deere tractor, implement. They got a full service department, parts department. They can fix you up. And they are now officially the new Ego Electric handheld attachment dealer. They also have ride-on zero-turn mowers, riding mowers, all electric. Go up and see them. They got them in stock. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go. What do we got going today, Aaron?
Well, today... Okay, so we finally have three shows on the transgender thing, so I made a tab at the top of the website.
Oh, they qualified for a tab.
Not really,
man,
but...
they're getting into everything.
In my dream, they qualified for a tab because this is just such an important topic. And I've been trying to do stuff on this for, I don't know, like 6 or 7 years, and I think our very first one was with Walt Heyer back in 2016. It's been that long ago, and yet nobody, well, I shouldn't say nobody because we found two other people. People don't like to speak out on this issue because they are so demonized. I don't even know if that's a good enough word. They just get attacked. So even if they have points to bring forward on the issue, they just get vilified. It's I don't know. It's got to be exhausting. So today we're speaking with Aaron Friday regarding the California initiative to protect kids from transgender ideology. And so I guess there's like no more out front thing than like you're running an initiative in a giant state. That's kind of obvious. I guess you're not in favor. And Katie Gorman decided to sit in with us because she is the co-chair. So...
yeah, I'm the co-chair of our Shasta County chapter of Moms for Liberty, and I'm the Shasta County lead for Aaron Friday's initiative here in Shasta County. We've been gathering signatures for a good while now. We're doing pretty great here in Shasta County, our red county.
It's kind of all over the place. I was at a meeting up in Siskiyou County Thursday, and that came up in their topic list. It's kind of out in everybody's... And you know, the people who have looked at this and gone, what are we doing as a society? So it's like people are pretty happy about that. A little bit about Erin. She is a licensed California attorney. She's a lifelong Democrat whose daughter used to believe that she was a boy. She co-leads the Western region of Our Duty, an international group of parents and allies who are fighting to protect children and vulnerable adults against gender ideology. She's also on the executive committee for ProtectKidsCA.com, a group that is proposing a California ballot initiative to stop gender interventions on children, remove males from female spaces. Hello, how does that have to require an initiative? And remove them from girls' sports and bar schools from secretively socially transitioning children. Another thing you would think would be common sense. She's authored articles in the Wall Street Journal, Daily Signal, Ohio Press, Epoch Times, Our Duty Substack, Postmillennial, and For Parents of Inconvenient Truths About Trans. Ooh, but she gets some pushback on that one. She is in several documentaries, including the Daily Caller's documentary called Groomed and the Epoch Times documentary called Gender Transformation, The Untold Realities. She's been on News Nation, Fox News, Fox and Friends, and pretty much everywhere to discuss this California initiative and California bills just over time. She's frequently found in Sacramento fighting bills that erode parental rights and force parents to subject their children to gender interventions and proposing bills that return parental rights. She's behind many of the parental notification policies being adopted at schools to stop the secret social transitioning of children. And I bet you're super popular in Sacramento, and probably what Scott Wiener is like your major foe.
Well, they love it when I show up.
I bet they do.
There's a collective sigh.
Oh no,
not the sigh.
Yeah, it's even more fun when Chloe Cole, who is the young detransitioner from the Sacramento area. I don't know if your listeners know, but I'll briefly tell them that this young woman, at the ripe age of 13, began her social transition, and then she began her medical transition and was put on puberty blockers, which caused her to go into menopause at the at the age of 13.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And we have women of a certain age know how uncomfortable menopause is. And then she was put on cross-sex hormones, and at the age of 15, her very healthy young breasts were removed. So she comes with me to Sacramento, and it's funny, she'll text Scott Wiener as she's sitting there in the galley, and you can just see his whole body stiffen. Because, of course, they don't want to hear from people like us, Democrats. Well, I'm a Democrat, and a parent of somebody who was able to extract her daughter from the gender cult. And, of course, a young female who regrets what happens to her. So, well, yeah, they love us in Sacramento.
for all the people who don't, you know, this topic is out there, but not the pushback on the topic. It's only if you speak out, that means that you hate everybody and you hate all the LGBT people because the T is part of that. And it was interesting. We had a nice chat with Sharon Byrne, the executive director of Wolf, your friend,
yep,
here a few weeks back. And she explained to us that the T's are just spicy straights and they don't belong with the LGs and the B's. And it was like, again, another very unpopular message, but super true and really sensible.
Yeah, the T tethers themselves to the LGB, and that's a way to hide their nefariousness. And, you know, I voted for same-sex marriage. I have no problem with the LGB. I'll be, you know, direct on that. It's the T and everything that follows thereafter, which is a lot of made-up words, or made-up, you know, identities. They just keep growing. But yeah, you know, this movement is, actually targeting kids who would just grow up to be gay. If you listen to the parents who have transitioned their kids, they will always say, he always liked Barbies. He liked his pink jacket. He liked to twirl and play with sparkles. That's how we knew he was a girl. Mm. No, that's not true. He's just a boy who likes sparkles and fairy dresses, and would likely just grow up to be a homosexual man. That's it. And same with the girls.
And Aaron, you have a significant following of the gay community behind you in, you know, people like Gays Against Groomers, and their big tagline is that, you know, they're trying to trans away the gay. And, you know, it's really targeting our gay community.
There's studies on this. This isn't just, you know, anecdotally known, but there's studies. So Ken Zucker, who is the premier psychologist in this realm, did studies on young kids who thought that they were the opposite sex. And if you don't transition them, if you don't put them on puberty blockers and arrest their natural growth and brain development, 88% will go through puberty and come out being comfortable in their natal sex. So puberty is actually a remedy for gender dysphoria. And over 66% of those kids just grow up to be gay or bisexual. So there's data on this. We know this. And then the other, you know, big swatch of kids that are saying that they are trans have, of course, comorbid mental health issues. You talked about Walt Heyer. You know, Walt Heyer was sexually abused as a child. Mm-hmm. That is a very common theme with the young adults who believe that they're trans, that they have experienced some kind of trauma and they want to escape from their naturally sexed bodies so that it never happens again. It's a way of dissociating from the pain and the horror that happened to them as young people. And then, of course, we have the group of autistic kids. We had a D-Trans awareness event in Sacramento at the Capitol.
What does that mean? What is D-Trans? It means they thought they were trans and now they're going to not be?
So when we use that terminology, detransitioner, that is a person who believed that they were the opposite sex and did something medically to their body.
Ew.
So either took puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or some kind of surgery. That's what we use the term detransitioner. There's a corollary term or another term we use called desister. And a desister is someone who believed that they were trans and then came back to being comfortable in their natal sex. So similar to my daughter, she did not medicalize. She did not harm her body in any way. And then she came back to believing or being comfortable in her female body.
And those are the people that you refer to as being socially when you say socially transitioned, that's what that means, that they just use a different name. Maybe, you know, girls cut their hair super short, you know, wear, like, more masculine clothing. Socially transitioned means you haven't done anything permanent.
Correct.
You're just kind of kind of trying it out or something.
Yes. Yes, and it's not as it is not as friendly as that trying it out, because these are steps. They're steps, and once you are on the trans train, it's really hard to get off.
It's like joining a gang.
Yeah, and you know, the whole internet and the schools and society is saying, okay, socially transitioning isn't enough. You have to go one more step, and so it's a journey. So if you're socially transitioned and you still feel sad and you still don't like life, and well, then the trans mob will say, well, that's because you're not on hormones. You need to go on hormones. And so then the person goes on hormones, and you know, they might be euphoric for 6 months, even a year. And then they'll say, well, I still feel sad and depressed and that I don't fit in. And the trans mob will say, okay, well, that's because you still have your breasts. You have to get rid of your breasts. And so there's steps that they take. And that's why autistic kids get caught up in this a lot, because the way they develop mentally is they like lists and they get special projects. So their special project could be transgender. Their special project could be dinosaurs. Their special project can be art. But if their special project is transgenderism, then they have to keep going through the next step.
Through the steps and check the list off and get the things done and do the tasks, basically, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And at the end of all of those steps, there's supposed to be this rainbow. There's supposed to be this perfect ending where all your mental health and sorrow and difficulties in life disappear. And when these kids get to that end step, they realize, my gosh, none of that has happened. I don't have a partner. I don't have a good job. I'm not happy. My whole day is spent whether I'm passing or not. And that's when they regret. And that's when the detransition comes into play. And so it can be anywhere from a year to even 7 years, even longer, for the realization of, hey, this didn't help me.
So listeners, your movie, Gender Transformation, The Untold Realities, with Chloe Cole in there, documents this very, very well. And is very beautifully done, and I encourage people to check that out. I believe they can get that through the Epic Times, correct?
That's correct, okay. And it's a cautionary tale and a true tale, even though it's dramatized of a young girl who, at the age of 16, told her her mother that she was trans, and her mother refused to socially transition her, refused to medicalize her, and the state of California took that 16-year-old from that mother under the claim of emotional abuse.
Wow.
For not transitioning.
See, I don't know if people really understand the ramifications of all that. Well, I mean, you could certainly see the end point, but we have to take a really quick break. When we come back, can you go into that a little bit more? Because we're not the only state with crazy laws like that. I mean, if your kid thinks he's Superman and wears a cape, they don't take your kid away and take him to Krypton. You know, I mean, that makes... Oh, that's right. Krypton's fake. Yeah, just crazy. We have to take a really quick break. You can find everything about our show, which is happening live today, February the 11th, 2024, the day of the Stupid Bowl. And you can find
it at...
You don't like it either. No. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Be right back.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them? Ever been lonely? Never been lied to, never had so many fears. I've been denied to, born at the end of time. Church bells chime, who always pray for the right time.
Because everybody's always born at the right time.
Yeah.
There's a little plan there. So Aaron, this whole business of the government stepping in and taking kids away from their parents, I think you have some people who think it happens all the time. Some people think it's not possible. I think you have two camps on that. What's really actually happening in California and maybe other connected states?
Well, let me just tell you my personal experience.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll talk about Abigail Martinez's. So when my daughter came out as transgender, and I did not know what I was walking into because I was a good little Democrat and only read the New York Times and only listened to lefty, you know, news programs. But the school started calling my daughter by a different name, a male name, using male pronouns. And when I called the school, and I went apoplectic on the school. I mean, no holds bar. I'm not a wallflower. And,
Because you didn't know this was all happening?
No, I didn't. And I certainly didn't think for a second that a school who had never met my daughter, because it was COVID, and she was just starting high school, would take it upon themselves to change my daughter's name and socially transition her without so much as a phone call to me.
That's kind of gutsy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was, again, it was a rude awakening that our schools are stepping into the shoes of parents in contradiction to our U.S. Constitution and actually California Constitution. But when that happened, a week later, the police and Child Protective Services showed up at my house. And that's because I said I wouldn't call my daughter by a male name, and how dare they change my daughter's name when they know nothing about her, first of all. Nothing. They'd never set eyes on her.
Had she ever spoken to you about this prior to...
No, because these children are coached online to keep it a secret from their parents. Well, they are told that their parents won't love them and will reject them, and that their parents are bigots and horrible human beings. And these, I mean, think about...
And they're teenagers, so they kind of think that anyway.
Yeah, but...
You know, a little bit.
Think about it. I mean, back in the day, we used to tease my brothers and sisters and say, oh, you're adopted, and you can get them in tears in like 30 seconds.
True story.
Yeah. But imagine teachers and people, you know, the whole crowd of the internet saying, your parents won't love you, your parents will
reject
you.
And they call themselves trusted adults outside of the parents. And they tell these kids that, you know, they're the ones to be trusted.
That's right. And they use the term chosen family. So if you don't like your current family, you can choose another, one who will accept whatever you say. Which is intriguing for a teenager who doesn't want a family let you do whatever you darn well please.
It's kind of amazing to me that they can make those claims without even knowing you personally.
Yes, and of course they made a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. Because I pushed back in a hard way, and what we did was we pulled her from the public school. But yes, Child Protective Services showed up at my house, and these things do happen. They happen in all the Western states. Even it just happened in Montana. If anybody wants to look up, you know, the Montana family, I think Megyn Kelly just had the interview of those two parents. They lost custody of their child in the state of Montana, which has bans against gender interventions, and that child is now in a state that allows children to mutilate their bodies. And so it happens across the nation, and that is why.
Well, when they came to your house, like, what was it? Knock, knock, knock. Oh, we've been talking to your kid online, and now we're, I mean, how did that actually go?
It was strange because, again, I actually didn't know what I know now, and I thought they were there to help me. I thought they would understand. Yeah, no. I mean, that's how naive I was. I was like, oh, hi. Yes, my daughter's struggling terribly. She thinks she's a boy. We know this isn't true. And so I had conversations with them, but I think because I do have a law degree and I must have talked my way out of it, that they never came back and did not file any kind of complaint against me. But I could have easily been like Abigail Martinez and lost custody of my child based on my refusal to call my daughter by a male name or use male pronouns. Easily.
Yeah, but if they backed off because you were an attorney, that says a lot there, too. I mean, for people that don't have a law degree, that don't know, you know, the right and wrong things to say, they haven't got a chance something like that.
We have the exact opposite example of that, which is what happened to Abigail Martinez. Can you fill our audience in on, you know, what happens if you don't have a law degree?
Yeah, well, and first of all, I want your listeners to understand that if CPS ever does come to your house or the police do come to your house, do not let them in and do not speak with them and hire an attorney immediately. Immediately. With Abigail Martinez, now she's an immigrant. I believe she's from Guatemala, so English is her second language. Uh-huh. So she was primed. She also was a single mom with three other children. And the state made an example of her and took her daughter, Yaley, from her, put her into foster care, and then had a court order to give this 16-year-old girl shots of testosterone. This young woman surfed couches for the next 3 years, you know, bounced from foster home to foster home because, you know, in the state of California, if you want to be a foster parent, you have to ascribe to the gender ideology. So you have to promise that you will socially transition the child or support their gender identity. So these kids don't find forever homes. They don't find loving families. They leave their loving families. Abigail Martinez was absolved of any child abuse claim, absolved of it. But it was too late because her daughter, Yaley, was in so much physical and mental pain because, remember, transitioning doesn't deal with the mental health issue.
Right.
Testosterone does not fix depression, anxiety, OCD, internalized homophobia. It doesn't fix anything. All it does is make you make women's bodies atrophy. So the uterus will atrophy. Women, like, they, when they're on testosterone, have bone pain that may never go away. So this young girl was in so much pain, she laid in front of a train and killed herself.
Oh.
And that's why the suicide rate in the trans community, at least back the last time I looked, was like 60%.
Well, those are made up figures.
Okay.
We were told
that at one point. It was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, these figures, look, they play with numbers. You can tease numbers however you want and
sure.
have them say what you want them to say. There's a number that had been floating around that 41% of kids commit suicide, and that's just a lie.
I think this was just kind of an overview. Just bottom line was it wasn't solving any problems, and it, instead of preventing suicide, was basically sort of causing it.
Yeah, well, post transition in Denmark, it's a 3.5 times higher suicide rate, and that's in Denmark, which is a very progressive, accepting country. In Sweden, it's 19%, or 19 times higher. Post transition, because again, it doesn't resolve the underlying issue. It's like, you know, taking an anorexic person and never understanding why they hate their bodies and just
putting
them on diet pills. Yes, you are fat.
How often are these kids offered alternative solutions to being unhappy and not fitting in? I mean, heck, that's been going on forever. Rather than just immediately going to puberty blockers and so forth, are they offered, you know, like psychiatric care or any kind of other types of counseling before they just jump right in the other direction?
It's extremely rare because we have a law in California that is against conversion therapy, and they throw gender identity in there. Although most, if you're a lawyer, you could read the code and understand that psychiatrists and psychologists can actually tackle the gender identity piece by looking at the underlying issues. But look, I went to 7 different mental health providers for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them wouldn't affirm.
Wow.
But we do, at our duty, if people who are listening need help, we do have therapists who will take a more nuanced position. We have, you know, what we call the Underground Railroad of psychiatrists and therapists who will, you know, explore the causality of what's going on with these kids, because that's what a therapist should do. There is no other mental or medical issue where a person can walk in and say, this is what I have, and I want this. It's very similar. Like, I have cancer, and I would like this type of chemo.
I guess that's where I wrestle with this is these kids and their children are self-diagnosing their issue, and the adults in the room are just saying, oh, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. And that just, it just seems very bizarre to me.
It is, and it's because they're cowards. And Katie, I want to thank you so much for doing what you're doing in Shasta and collecting signatures. And I want to say, like, this doesn't require courage. I'm tired of people saying that, you know, you need to be courageous and brave. No, you need to be moral.
Mm-hmm.
Every doctor out there took an oath to do no harm, and they know what they're doing is wrong, and they sit in silence. And that's not okay. The teachers who are going along and getting along and calling these kids wrong names and pronouns because they don't want to ruffle any feathers, they don't want to get fired. This is your moral obligation. It is everyone's moral obligation to protect the most vulnerable humans on the planet, which are children.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for that. I'm happy to have the opportunity and happy to have your leadership on this and getting this going in the first place. The other thing that, you know, you've really influenced us here in Shasta County and across the state with tackling that school board policy 5145.3, you know, we better known as the secrecy policy. And I would like to go over, have you talk about that and your work on that. My husband is a school board member, the County Office of Education here in Shasta County. His very first meeting after being sworn in was kind of like a re-up or a recertification of 5145.3 to include the secrecy policy and make it even more strong and add in that us teachers can be fired for not affirming gender. So that was that extra piece in there that up to and including firing is what it said. So, and you've been fighting this, and we really appreciate that. We've been able to get it passed, that school board policy passed here in Anderson, led by a school board member named Jackie here in our county. And yeah, so we've really been looking up to you on those things. So let's talk about that too. I think it was Chino that started it.
Yeah, so you guys I love that Anderson passed this. So let's kind of regroup on this. And this is why the ballot initiative is so important at protectkidsca.com, because that ballot initiative, if we get it on the ballot, would actually require schools to notify parents when their child is struggling with gender identity issues. So that would change our entire state in one fell swoop. But back last year, I wrote, I don't know, six bills to try to get authorship in Sacramento, because we've been playing this defense game in the state for a long time and not being very successful. So I decided I'm going to write some bills. And one of the bills was a parental notification bill. And Billis Saley, who is a freshman or was a freshman assembly member out of Riverside, decided to author that bill, which simply said, when a child is asking to be called a different name or pronoun at school or treated as a different sex, to notify the parents. That's it. It was so simple.
Which kind of makes sense, because if they were eating paste, they used to call your mom. You know,
you have to sign a permission slip for Aspen, a class trip, for getting a ride home from a, during an emergency. You sign all these papers at the beginning of school, but they're going to let a school keep a secret about a child's gender dysphoria, which is a mental health issue. That we're going to keep that secret. Everybody else is going to know, because everyone else in the school knows. The janitor knows, the substitute teacher, the volunteer parent, everyone knows, but mom and dad, the people who need to keep this child safe and need to understand that their child is suffering.
Well, the crazy part is how could there not be problems at home when the kid is basically, we were taught a long time ago, if an adult comes to you and says, let's keep this secret between us, something bad was happening. I think that was the beginning of keeping kids, wising kids up to intervention from like bad grown-ups. And so now we're doing that as an institution, telling kids to basically keep stuff secret. Sorry, we have to take a really quick break. We don't have to take a quick break. She's waving her arms. Something's happening. Okay, we're not taking a break. We're continuing to talk. Okay, that was fun.
Oh, well, I got a question.
I love live radio. Okay, go on. Oh! Something bad just happened.
Is everybody okay?
No, don't go out there.
Don't go out there.
Hold on.
Come back. Don't go out there.
Keep talking, Aaron.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope everybody's safe. But so the school notification.
Excuse me, dear listeners. We are taking a few minutes break. We have issues, inconvenience. We'll be right back shortly.
Oh my goodness.
Baby did a bad, bad thing. 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 You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
Well, there you have it. A brief unscheduled interruption. Giant rock through the window.
Your basic
enormous rock through the window. It's not really that enormous, but it seemed enormous.
Sorry, I screamed.
It bashed through some very thick glass. But I always pull the curtain on the front window because the glare is too bad, so it's kind of a cheap...
We're thanking God for the curtain right
now.
Yeah,
it's just sort of a shade, but, you know, you got to love the shade. And firearms, you know, firearms are good. Another advertisement for the Second Amendment and concealed weapons permits. Good Lord.
Yeah, that was funny.
Speaking of that, so Aaron, you just went to a...
Back up just a teensy bit.
Oh,
there we go.
Aaron, you just went to a... A gun show recently.
Oh yeah, I heard
which was kind of funny.
So
because,
timely. Why don't
you know,
tell us
you
about
found
that?
your Democrat self in a gun show.
Oh my gosh! Because see, this is it's so funny the position that I'm in because I do work with very lefty people like Sharon Wolf. And,
yeah, but see, Sharon wasn't lefty when she was on with us. She even laughed when I played the song I'm probably going to play at the end of the hour. Like. She's super fun.
She's awesome.
I was shocked.
She's awesome.
Like
she's awesome.
Women's Liberation Front. I'm thinking, oh man, I'm so out of my depth. But no, we're turf.
Well, that's what all of this is. The comedy behind it,
and
actually, the silver lining, because really the left and the right, the regular folks like us, the voters, the people who have families and. Want to live normal lives, we have probably 80% in common, if not more than that.
Yeah.
We really do share so many of the same values. It's the extreme left that are, you know, just insane. And then the extreme right, who may also, you know, have a little bit of nuttiness in them. But the most of us are right there smack in the middle. And we have been siloed and told that the other is an enemy and that we should never talk and that we will never understand each other. Really, like, you know, the Super Bowl today, you are either for this team or for this team,
yeah.
Or the other team. And it's, so I work with everyone. There is no one that I really won't talk with from either side because together we are strong. And again, look, women who are lesbians, they know what a woman is. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
They want their sports.
Yep.
They want their safe spaces. They don't want women who are men who claim that they're women in their changing rooms, just like the right doesn't want it either. But, yes, I went to a gun show, which was kind of hilarious, because I'm not a pro-gun type of person. But... again, I learned a lot from the people that are there. Again, kindness, what they believe in. And I would say 99% of the people that I interacted with signed the petition.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Of course it does. It totally makes sense.
Because they're about rights. What a great idea.
And so are the Democrats signing this, too.
Yes.
So, you know, the Democrats in power... are not paying attention. They're missing the story here that Californians as a whole are against boys playing on girls' sports teams. California as a whole are against, you know, perceived sex changes on children. They're not paying attention. They're listening to the loudest people in the room, which are people who don't have kids, have all the time in the world and are funded to the tune of millions and millions of dollars, and they are paid to go to Sacramento and lobby. Planned Parenthood, you know, gives out the most cross-sex hormones in our entire country. They go to every hearing in Sacramento and push this garbage.
Yeah.
We need our people to start showing up.
Well, the thing is, I think sometimes people don't know how to fight it. And I told this on the show with Sharon, too, but it's really important. It's on our transgender page that we now have on the website. But honestly, you know, all this gender thing, they somehow over time, you know, really slow. That's how this stuff always happens, slowly. And they started kind of tricking us into the idea that the words gender and sex were synonymous words. And so on our forms that we used to fill out when I was a kid, it always said sex, M or F. And then suddenly it started to say gender, M or F. And it was like, well, who cares? You know, I guess so what do you assume? Means the same thing. But when you look at the dictionary definition, they don't mean the same thing. And the debate ends. You know, there's 75 genders goes away when you bring it back to, yes, but there are only two sexes. It's like,
hey,
game over.
Right. And this has been going on. I tracked it to 1999, was the first law that changed, that interchanged sex and gender, and they did it incrementally. You're right.
Yep.
They do it with these small little bites where nobody's paying attention.
And people don't know how to fight it. Like, you know, when somebody comes at you and says there's multiple genders and you go, well, that's ridiculous. But you're out of ideas at that point. Like, you're out of ammo. Right there.
I have ideas. So I'll and I know Katie has them too. But first and foremost, it's so simple. Download the petition at protectkidsca.com
and sign it
and send it in. It costs less than a dollar and it takes 1 minute to do that. So that would be first and foremost, and collect signatures. Hey, there's a Super Bowl party going on today. Bring that petition with you. I guarantee you, you'll come out of that party. Whether you're with lefties or righties, you'll come out of that party with every adult in that room signing that petition. Those are really easy things to do. People can reach out to me at info@protectkidsca.com. I have a call to action email that I send out to people. It only goes in one direction. It is really simple to follow. It will say something along the lines of, hey, there's this really bad bill, AB 957, call this number and say these three things, and that's it. You can do it after hours if you're afraid to talk on the phone, or send an email to this person and write this. It's really simple. So people who feel that they are not able to do anything, yes, they can. Everyone can and must. They can donate to protectkidsca.com so that we can, you know, get copies made for these petitions. Everything goes back to the movement. There isn't anyone out there listening who can't do something, and they must.
Yeah, because this is when you can perpetrate a fraud this vast, what's next? I mean, that's kind of the thing. And when we're at a point now where you can, because we've silenced people, right? So that's the initial thing is, you know, if you oppose this stuff that seems bizarre and fake, then you hate everybody. You hate lesbians. You hate gay men. You just want people to be controlled. And it's like, no, wait. Then the wheels come off. That's what I guess. That's why I really enjoyed talking to Walt Heyer. You know, his grandma dressed him as a girl when he was 4 years old. It was their secret, and she would make him party dresses, and she wasn't nice to him unless he was dressed like a girl. So it's not exactly, you know, a mystery that when he grew up, he thought people would like him more if he was a girl. And you wonder, like, how much of that's going on? And hell, that was years ago. He's like in his 80s right now.
About this for 1 second. If you tell a child, yes, you are trans, what you're actually telling the child is you were born wrong. Everything about you is wrong. From the way your hair grows, to the way you move, the way you talk, the way you sit, the things you like, your hair cut, your genitals, everything about you is wrong. That's what a transgender child is. Someone who's being told that they are wrong. So when we talk about it being a hateful movement, how hateful is that? So, you know, the names and stuff, I take them as a badge of honor. Because, first of all, you know that you're winning the argument when they devolve into the name-calling. You're a bigot. You're a homophobe. You're a transphobe. You just won that argument because that's all they have.
That's it. That's
yeah, like when they throw a giant rock through the front window of the studio while you're talking about it. Hey, guess what? We're gonna keep doing more shows on this.
Well, sorry, Carl.
Yeah, ruh-roh.
But think about this for a second. What cowards they are.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
They are cowards. They threw a rock through your window to stop a truthful conversation. And so they know that they are in the wrong. Look, I've had Antifa. I'm 5'4". I'm over 50. I've had Antifa guy one by myself. He must have been six something, standing in front of me, just dropping F-bombs at me. You know, and I said, oh, it's so nice to meet you. And would you mind can I get a picture with you? And then he put his face mask up and rode his little bike away. In terror. Sorry. It's in terror. Yeah. They walk out the back door when I arrive. Again, I'm 5'4". I go to you know, their trans talks, and they see me there with my sign. I do a little.
Is trans talks the people who like the trans thing?
Well, like when they're, you know, they'll have like a talk for kids, vulnerable kids, and I'll show up, and there'll be a man in a micro mini dressed up talking about, you know, how great it is to be trans in front of 10-year-olds, and I'll go. And then I'll stand out front like a billboard Chris move, and I'll have my billboard, and I'll stand there, and they all go out the back door. They're scared of me.
Yeah.
You have to remember that.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, you hit that one on the head, Katie. Yeah, the truth is an interesting thing.
You know, I actually had it on my list to talk about Billboard Chris. I got to meet him when I went to Philadelphia to the Moms for Liberty summit up there, and it was just amazing to see a man, a father, who has gone across this entire country, taken on as much abuse as he's taken on. And he's really been an amazing force to get the word out there and show up where they are and be that opposing force and protecting kids. And it's pretty cool that he's partnered with us on this initiative and you've gotten him to come to the Capitol a couple of times, right? Or LA or something?
Yeah. So Chris is great. And I'm going to say this, my gosh, Moms for Liberty, you know, are doing a great job. And the moms are doing a great job. Where are the dads?
Yeah.
Where are the men?
I think they're just not sure what to do. It seems like everything they do is wrong. They're like the reason for everything, right? They're the colonizers, they're the oppressors, they're the patriarchs. It's like, I don't know, I think what we told men was go hide, which is a terrible message.
So let's officially tell them
to stop hiding. Yeah.
No, we need them out there. We need everyone out there. If you have a mother, you were born of a mother, you have a sister, you have a daughter, you have a granddaughter, just think about your daughters to go to college, and they could have as their roommate a person with a penis. And if their daughters complain, they will be brought up on discrimination. Where are the men protecting their daughters? And in California, so this is crazy. Think about this for a second. We have and this, of course, is Scott Wiener, my nemesis. He passed a bill that in a long-term care facility for elderly people, or let's say you're recovering from a heart attack, your roommate, woman, grandmother, could be a male who thinks that he is a female. Your roommate. So you may be incapacitated, unable to get out of your bed, and you have a male sharing your room. You may have a male nurse bathing you, even though you're asking for a female. Think about being 80, 90 years old and having to deal with this. So everyone needs to do something. The excuses fall on deaf ears. I've been doing this for 4 years, nonstop, no pay, spending my own money, and to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars.
Hold that thought, and we're going to come back with you for the next hour. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Was supposed to play at the end of the last hour. It just seemed fitting.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, because you know what? This stuff does make people crazy. And apparently, Aaron, you knew too much, and then, well, you know, you roped us into your thing. But, honestly, the pushback on this is huge. Huge. And Bill wants to do the promo and stuff. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. This is We the People Radio. Okay, Bill, what do you have for us?
Well, our sponsor this second hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And right now you can get a great deal on a John Deere tractor, mower, implements, you name it. They've got it up there in stock. They've got a great inventory right now. Go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, and rumor is they have some select models that are marked way, way down. So if you're looking for a tractor, go up and see them. You're going to get a great deal. Folks are real easy to deal with. They got some 0% financing. So go up and see them or give them a call, phone number 530-226-9226, or catch them on the web at PappyMachinery.com.
Do they have a good glazer on staff?
Pardon me?
A guy who fixes windows?
No, we don't have any window guys. Got some good paint and body guys, though. So
that helps us not
one bit. They want to wall it up and, you know, make it bulletproof.
It was kind of weird, too. I was just noticing that we played another brick in the wall right before that, too. So I might be giving people ideas. That's the problem.
Come on, Aaron.
Because the way this works, I'm supposed to blame myself.
Oh, right. That's right. Before that's, somebody else does.
Right. That's the latest trend, right? We're supposed to blame ourselves. We're the bad ones. Oh, my God. So I kind of forgot where we were, but
Aaron,
we were talking about the gun show, and we never really got the whole 411 on that.
Yeah, I actually wanted to bring up another one that I thought was really great because I saw it on your X, where you had called out the legislature for their bathrooms because, you know, they're implementing this stuff you were just talking about, you know, how they target our older people and our younger people, you know, having grandma have to be in there with a man is
ridiculous. And then our girls having to have boys come in their bathrooms. And then you found something at the Capitol. I wanted you to talk to people about what you did. And that video was epic, by the way. It was amazing.
Yeah, we had a really good time with that. Yeah, at the Capitol in Sacramento, I mean, this is our government. We have a men's room, and we have a women and all others room. So let's think about that for a second.
Women and
men's.
All others?
That's right. Assembly member Al Martucci, he was running a hearing, and he's up on the dais, like, giggling. That, like, oh, well, I walked into the bathroom and there were two people who might identify as women. I'm like, you mean women, you bonehead? Just say it. You know what a woman is. You see who is in front of you, that it's a woman. And they looked shocked that I was in their bathroom. And I was like, well, this is an all-gender bathroom. Of course they were shocked. They don't want you in their bathroom. Like, it's that simple. Use the men's room across the hall. But no, there is no privacy for women anymore.
No.
Zero.
No.
It kind of tells you where their brain is and, you know, what happened to feminism.
Well, I just want to say I wouldn't be very comfortable in a men's room with somebody wearing a dress, so
then there's that.
You know, either way,
he's
you
a man
go
without a country
thing.
Now.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Very strange.
But we don't have to capitulate.
Yep.
For we are not a democracy of one.
No.
Right, and so we need to protect those who are most vulnerable. There's a reason why women, when I go running, I tell my husband at night which direction I'm going, mm-hmm. and what time to expect me home. We do this as women because we know that. We do cross the street when we feel uncomfortable because we know that we are physically unable to defend ourselves from most every male, even someone who is smaller than we are. We know this. And to tell little girls to not follow their visceral reaction and to accept men with penises or even without penises in our spaces is just setting them up for disaster. What happened to the Me Too movement?
Yep.
Where did that go?
Yep.
That's gone. Now we have to accept penises? Sorry. I'm sorry for your listeners. I keep saying that word. I won't say it anymore.
too late. They already threw a rock through the window.
Like, that's what it
somebody with a good arm, though.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. I mean, and I'm sure it's a man in a dress. And no woman would be able to throw that big of a rock through the window and make it shatter. That's
it's pretty thick glass. I mean, it's like it's studio glass, so it's pretty. I mean, it did sound like. I mean, in fairness, it did sound like a gunshot. It was a fairly solid. And then we're on kind of a busy street a little bit, but not the place where you really, you know, you can back up and get a wind up and take a shot at it. So, yeah, I'd be curious if somebody has a camera out there. That'd be sort of interesting. We'll have to report back and let you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a man saying how feminine he is because this is what women do. I mean, how often do we see women taking their shirts off and walking around the White House garden?
Yeah,
but they're women. I mean, do you remember that?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I mean, there's
women don't do that.
No,
we don't do that.
No, there's just a and you know, back to the. I mean, this whole thing is about kids, and. So as adults, we're having trouble processing this, you know, like this isn't normal for us. And you think, wow, what are kids looking at right now? And no wonder they're being, I mean, that's why grooming is grooming, right? I mean, that's why it works. This stuff is all around them. You're not allowed to you're not allowed to talk bad about it. You're not allowed to bring facts into the equation.
But what Aaron said earlier about the
which Aaron are you talking about?
The causation. You know, when I was in school, this wasn't an issue, and it certainly didn't have the traction it has now. So why all of a sudden in the last, you know, what, 10 years, has this become so popular and socially accepted, I guess? Where did all this start?
So that's a question I'm asked often. And this is a very strange cult, and that's what I'm going to call it because that's what it is. This is a cult without a single leader. This is a cult without a single cause. So you have the money. Each child is worth $1 million to the medical industrial complex.
Right.
Because once a child is transitioned in any fashion, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, surgeries, they become a lifelong medical patient. So these kids who detransitioned to the medical communities don't know what to do with them. They can't fix them. They have constant pain, and it's a big shrug of your shoulders because it's all experimental, and the doctors say, I don't know how to help you. There is a man in San Francisco who I got this call on Friday, black man, schizophrenia, sexually assaulted as a child, just like Walt Heyer, transitioned, had his genitals removed and fashioned into a never-healing wound, which is constantly infected. And he went to urgent care. Yeah, he went to urgent care. They sent him away. No one will help him because no one knows how to help him. So he is going to bounce from doctor to doctor to doctor. He is a perpetual medical patient. He is 29 years old.
Yeah.
And this is the real story of what's happening. So they're worth money. There used to be one pediatric gender clinic in the whole of the United States in 2007. And now there are over 250 of them. Why? Because they make money.
Yeah.
They make money. So you have money. And then you have... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the thing that struck me when, and we'll have to talk about this in a little bit too, the other portion of it, but when Bonta rewrote the title and summary, he still had to leave in the aspect that this ballot initiative would, if passed, would save California, what was it, millions or billions of dollars, something like that, because our taxpayer dollars are going to this crap.
Well, let's talk about that. I'm so glad you brought that up because at protectkidsca.com, where you can find the ballot initiative, you'll see the title and summary that Rob Bonta wrote, and it says potential small savings. By not transitioning kids. You want to know what the small savings is? Because I requested the documents from our government, and I just got them. Under Medi-Cal, our tax dollars in 1 year, believe it's 2020, we paid $94 million to transition children
and ruin their lives.
And that's not the whole number. They didn't give me all of the numbers I asked for. So that's just a drop in the bucket. $94 million to butcher children. Now, let's talk about what happens after, because these kids then are sterile. So they become, how do they get babies? They buy them. Mm. They buy them through surrogacy programs. California has we're the biggest surrogacy state in the United States. So they get them either way. They get the money.
Sure.
They're taking vulnerable kids and turning them into commodities. And you can invest. All of us on this call, if you own stocks, you're investing in the pain of these kids. We all are. If you have Vanguard funds, you have, you know, ESGs, I don't want to go too much into it, but, you know, environmental, social, and governance funds are all pushing this gender agenda because they get scorecards from the Human Rights Campaign. So they want to get good scores. They don't want to fix the environment because that's too expensive and too hard to do. So they throw a pride parade, and so they get really good scores on social. And so that's why they push this. So you've got money on that end, too. There are people who are investing in online cross-sex hormones. You can make millions. It's a billion-dollar industry. So the money is there.
Yep.
The money is first and foremost. And then you have the other reason, sex. Why sex? Because you pump a little girl with testosterone, and suddenly you have a little girl who says yes.
Sure.
Right? And you have them highly sexualized. There is, when a kid puts that they are transgender on their Instagram account, it is a siren for pedophiles to find these kids. They understand that the child is disassociating with their bodies, and they'll do something like this. And I know this from firsthand. Well, since you're going to get your breasts cut off anyway, you might as well make some money off of them. So why don't you send us some pictures?
Oh.
And we'll give you some money.
Well, that took a
dark
turn.
So they do this to little girls.
Wow.
Yep.
Mm. Wow.
One of the questions we had in our chat room was, on these puberty blockers they're giving these kids, are they permanent, or is that reversible once they start that therapy?
Well, it's not reversible. There's now studies that are coming out that that putting a child on puberty blockers affects their brain development, so their IQ actually drops. So we have that going on, and then secondarily, during puberty is when you have growth spurts, when your bones thicken and strengthen, and when you put them on puberty blockers, they miss out on that part, and that doesn't get recovered. So young girls who were put on puberty blockers because of precocious puberty, you know, young girls who were developing breasts or getting their periods when they were 6 and 7 years old, there's 10,000 complaints against Lupron, the puberty blocker, from these girls when they get into adulthood because they have brittle bones, they have osteoporosis, their jaws are cracking, their teeth are cracking, and they're 25 years old.
Wow.
So there is no recovery.
Male pattern baldness.
Well, not from puberty blockers. From puberty blockers, you also have 98% of all kids on puberty blockers go on to cross-sex hormones. Mm-hmm. So it's not a pause. Everyone hears, oh, it's just a pause button to give the children time to think about it. But their brains aren't developing when they're on the blockers. So they're not maturing. So their minds never change. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's just step two in the process. Social transition being step one. Step two is puberty blockers. 98% of all of them go on to cross-sex hormones. A boy placed on puberty blockers. Sorry, I'm going to get gross here. Boy.
Hold that thought. Let's be gross after the break. How'd that be?
Sure.
Since Bill has a question and I don't know, I wasn't paying attention, and you know, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, we gotta talk about what happens to our poor boys with these puberty blockers.
Yeah, because it doesn't go well for them either. We talk about girls a lot. That's true. So we're speaking with Aaron Friday, and the loud noises you hear in the back are the cars going by through the giant hole in the window that someone felt the need to open for us with a huge rock, because I guess people don't like this topic.
Apparently we're over the target.
Which is, yeah, we are over the target, taking flack. You can find the archive on this show, and I hope you send it to a whole ton of people, and I hope you go to the transgender tab on our website. And if you know somebody who's an expert or something on this topic, we would love to interview them, too. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone.
surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giants calling out my name and they laughs at me, reminding me of all the times
I find it funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams on which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world.
Sometimes shows the music writes itself.
There you go. Aaron, I had a question I tried to ask earlier, and I must have lost it.
And you were so rudely cut off.
Yeah, I was rudely cut off.
So sorry.
What is the percentage, I don't know if you know this, but what is the percentage of kids that detransition once they, make their announcement or start their process? How many of them actually change their mind?
Nobody knows because it's not being tracked, but I'll give you some data that I do know is that in the armed services, they have data that shows that 30% of their membership who started some kind of hormone program stopped. Okay, so that's 30%.
Wow.
I track D-Trans Reddit, which, they're not complete real numbers because anyone can join D-Trans Reddit and see what detransitioners are saying. So there's detransitioners and desisters, and then there's people like me who are watching it. But I'll give you some data from that. In January 2020, there were 6,000 or so detransitioners on Reddit or desisters on Reddit. Now, in 2024, there are 50,000.
Holy cow.
These are also with the same kind of data points that you see with those people transitioning. So it's the same, diagonal line. As more people transition, more people detransition, because again, it doesn't resolve their problems. No one
right.
is tracking this. No one's tracking this. I mean, think about this for a second. You're transitioning humans.
Yeah, and that's why I was asking what alternatives are these people offered prior to going down this ugly road? Maybe if they were given, maybe I'm stupid, but maybe if they were given other options, a lot of this could be avoided.
Walt Heyer started saying it back in, he was saying it before we talked to him in 2016, that this is a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
And that should be part of the mix, and that is absolutely not part of the mix. Is anybody, I know people are talking about it, but do you see anything going that direction at all?
I do. So really, in the last 2 years, think about it, in 23 states, we have passed bans on gender interventions on children. I hope California will be the 24th with our ballot initiative at protectkidsca.com. But yes, in the last 2 years, we have seen groups of therapists coalesce to make sure that their profession is looking at these kids and young adults in a more holistic way. So that is definitely occurring. More therapists and pediatricians, endocrinologists are speaking up, more teachers are speaking up, more parents are speaking up. So we are actually going in the right direction. We're just not going fast enough in the blue states. They are still holding back. And I'll give one really quick story of a Democrat that I met with. I'm not going to name who he is, but it's very rare that a lawmaker will actually meet with me in person. They usually send a staffer instead. He met with me in person, and usually you're given about 15 minutes. I had an hour and a half with him. That's new. They are starting to understand that this isn't the new gay. You know, this isn't homophobic and it isn't bigoted to safeguard children. So it's starting to happen, and I do believe that this part of history will end. It's just a matter of how high will the body count be,
how many
humans need to be ruined before people start waking up and have the courage to stand up and do something about this. If everyone stood up today who is against this, regardless of a rock coming through the window, it would be over in a matter of weeks.
Is it? Is this like a worldwide problem, or is it mostly seen like in the West?
People who are starving and trying to make ends meet, they don't have time for this, I would imagine.
Well, they're trying to make it worldwide with the WHO, the World Health Organization. They're trying to push this in other countries. So I get calls from Korean filmmakers, France, in Europe. You know, they're slowing it down. So Sweden has bans, Denmark has bans, so does, Finland has bans on this stuff on children, the UK. So they're ahead of us in ending this, but they're building this movement and they're even trying to bring it to Africa because again, it's worth money and we're dehumanizing and depopulating. Our world, because we're sterilizing humans.
Yep.
We're also, you talk about a hateful movement. We are harming the quote-unquote deplorables. We are harming those with mental health issues. It's eugenics at its core. So again, we talked about why is this happening? Well, think about it. Autistic kids, now they can't procreate because they'll be sterilized. Let's get rid of them. That's what this movement is. Let's get rid of the gay people and make sure that they can't have kids too. Let's turn them into lifelong medical patients.
Well, let's give the transhumanists, finally what they always wanted. You know, the ability to experiment with the human body, because once this starts, it's really similar to, having a transplant, an organ transplant of some kind. You're on medication forever. So
right, and they're trying to make wombs.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Independent of women's bodies, they're trying to transplant them into men's bodies, again to be gross. I mean, men are lactating. I don't know what the concoction is that's coming out of their nipples, but they're actually feeding newborns. And it's a fetish, so they get turned on by an infant suckling some weird concoction that is dripping out of their nipples. That is what we're doing. Doctors are actually prescribing medicine that will make stuff come out of these men's nipples. It's insanity.
Yeah,
and they definitely don't want to talk about any of that because, well, if they can brand us all as haters and misinformers and people who are just, I don't know, what are we? Are we just like Puritans or something? I mean,
well, yeah, they do whatever they can to just make it to where they walk away from us and don't even want to hear what we have to say.
Yeah, then there's that.
Because when you hear what Aaron has to say right now, you're going to say, wait, what? I need to look more into this. And then you're going to sign that Protect Kids California initiative right away.
So, Aaron, Can you talk a little bit about what the impact is having on the boys?
Oh, yeah.
We talked a lot about the girls.
Sorry, Bill.
Sure. Yeah, let's talk about
Katie
because
was
the boys
bring
are
that
getting
up, but I think she was shy.
it affects girls 75% versus 25% of boys, but the boys are catching up because it's a social contagion, and that's in history of social contagions. We always know it starts with the adolescent girls and then moves on. But for the boys, so when a boy is put on puberty blockers, his penis never grows. So he will have a baby-sized penis for the rest of his life.
Oops.
Even if he stops. So let's be gross. Let's be super gross. So this is a fetish. Also, think about it. An 18-year-old man with a tiny penis. Pedophile. Interesting, right? And then these boys, once they go on the puberty blockers, they have the micropenis. They try to make a neo-vagina out of it. There's not enough skin to do that. So this is what they did for Jazz Jennings. They took part of the colon to fashion some kind of fake vagina. The
colon that you actually need for colonness?
Yeah. Yeah, well, right.
Obviously, medical school.
Like, it's gross. You're taking a part of the body that is used for excrement to come out. And so these kids, too, they also, it perforates. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of grown adult men who've had this done, and they wear diapers.
And adhesions can grow in their abdomen and cause a lot of pain and issues as well with that.
And hair, internal hair growth, the constant infection that I talked about with the young man in San Francisco, these boys never experience an orgasm. And so how do you explain to a child you're never going to experience chocolate ice cream?
Yeah.
Well, what is chocolate ice cream? Well, chocolate ice cream is really yummy, and it tastes really good, but you're never going to have it. And so that's what we're doing to kids. That's what we're doing to these boys. And there's the gross fetish aspect to it, which is really horrible. These boys end up, you know, looking younger, too. They stay young looking. So now we're into pedophilia. And some of these kids, and anybody can look at this, you don't have to believe me, go to Align Surgery. Look up Align Surgery in San Francisco, and what they do is they leave the micropenis, and then they fashion a fake vagina. So, like, think about that. Think about what we're doing to humans. What we're experimenting. It's like the Nazis in Germany when they took the twins and did all the experiments on these kids. It's a horrifying thing. Yeah. This is not a movement of love or kindness. It's a movement of hate and destruction.
Yeah, you got to kind of wonder what these doctors, how they can sleep at night when they have to know the long-term effect of what they're doing.
Yeah, but look at the experiments they get to do, though.
Yeah.
This is like if I just went to that Align Surgery thing. I'm going to put that just so people don't have to crash their car to try to jot this down if you're driving. I'm going to put that on the page for today, and I'll also put it on the transgender tab because, yeah, that's terrifying.
And I want to put a warning out there because they do show pictures. They do show after pictures, and they are horrifying, and you can't get them ever out of your brain. So if you are at all squeamish, do not look at it. Because it will, you know, it lives with you forever, unfortunately. And this is the movement. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And these surgeons, they don't care. Dr. Spack, who brought pediatric sex changes or gender interventions to Boston College, he is quoted as saying he was salivating. Salivating.
He?
Wow.
So these doctors think that they're godlike. You can hear it in their voices. We're like, we could change sex. How exciting.
Yeah, we're going to be the first.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Oops.
Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, morally, right?
Weren't we told that by our parents a long time ago? Yeah. I don't think most people can wrap their mind around this, and they wind up silenced because it seems to be a big social movement. It seems to involve other people. But I always kind of like to point out, bottom line is if you have a wallet, it's coming for you, whether you like it, don't like it, whatever the thing is, because these people who are going through these experiments are going to need extensive medical and psychological care for a very long time. And
there's nobody. There's nobody it doesn't
be
touch.
Privately paid for.
Yeah, there's nobody it doesn't touch. You can say like, "Oh, it's not my issue." It is your issue because you use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
The public
bathroom. Then
you
that.
Have a mother. Yeah, you have a mother. You have a sister. Katie, I'm curious. Like, how is your collection of signatures happening in your area for ProtectKidsCA.com. I love to hear the stories of how it's going.
Hold that thought. We'll come back and do that. We'll have the whole last part of the show is about the petition because we have it linked on the site, but I want you to tell people specifically what they need to do to print it because there's a lot of pages. Do they need all the pages, some of the pages? Like, let's give people some marching orders because not everyone is here local, right? So there will be people in other parts of the state and other states that listen. Also, if they want this petition in their state, they should model it after this, I would imagine. We will be right back. Our guest is Aaron Friday, and we're talking about the unpopular topic, but it is popular. That's the thing of how do we deal with the transgender ideology and get control of our kids back. Give it back to parents. What a great idea.
Yeah.
You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Devil appears, waiting for someone, been waiting for years.
Oh, I just try to make believe that everything you're telling me is true. Come on, baby, won't you just lie?
So if you ever want to make a musical, you could use that. That'd be a good theme song for you. Okay, back to the initiative and all the things. So how is it going here?
I think we were kind of slow going at the beginning, you know, with Christmas and everything else, but we're really cooking along now. We got a group of people who are also working on another ballot initiative, which will lower that $950 thing, and we partnered with them. We've been taking each other's initiatives around. We collected a few hundred signatures last Saturday standing in front of a grocery store, and we have a big door knocking campaign next week. We'll be going every single day next week all the way up through Saturday, and we're well received by both sides. We let everybody know that we are bipartisan. We have some more moderate Republicans as well as some hard right Republicans. We're a pretty red county, so Democrats are few and far between, and if they are here, they're pretty extreme. So that's what we got going on. I think it's going really well. People were just lining up to sign yesterday. We were at a big barbecue thing. We got a lot of signatures there. So it's going really well. And I love the education that you guys have on the website, teaching people how to do it, because there's a lot of people just printing it out and getting their family to sign, like you said.
So they can go, if they live in California, they can go to protectkidsca.com, print the petitions, have people sign them, gives them all the directions on there. You have to have all the people in the same county. You have to sign a petition. If you're not sure on how petitions work, ask somebody, because there's nothing worse than you get a whole bunch of signatures and then they're invalid. You know, you need physical addresses. There are some things that are petition specific. And what this does, just so people understand, is this does not make it a law. It puts it on the ballot. And once it's on the ballot, then the state gets to vote. So, if you want to see people have a choice.
That's right. It just gets it on either the 2024 ballot, which is what we're looking towards, and that means people need to get their signatures in by really April 15th so that we can check them, and then we can give them to the counties by the 19th. That would get us on the 2024 ballot, but we have... we might have an extension of time because, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but I guess I will. We're filing a lawsuit against the title and summary, and that will be filed on Monday. So we might have longer period of time. But our website has directions in Spanish and in English. We have Mandarin directions in Korean, and they're pretty simple directions if people just take the time to follow them. You write neatly. You write within your rectangle. You sign it. You use your address that you get your ballot when you vote. That's the address you need to use. And then you mail it in and then go collect some more. I drive around with them in my car. When I pick up takeout, I get signatures then pretty much wherever I go. I look at the person and I say, oh, that's potential somebody who believes that removing little girls' breasts is not okay. So I'm going to ask them to sign, and it's really quite easy to strike up the conversation. For men, it's very easy, especially, men who are workers. All you have to ask them, and I joke, hey, you know what a woman is. They get it. Men understand the sports, and then when I'm talking to parents, I talk about the children, the aspect of the children, and they understand that, and they sign it. The most difficult people to get to sign the ballot initiative are, strangely, women from 21 to about 35. They seem to fall for the be kind, be loving, be accepting narrative, which is just untrue.
Even if it's children, I mean, it's one thing if it's adults who want to, go through the, mutilation, really. If they want to go through that, I guess at some point, that's your problem. But they think it's okay to do this. Are they people who have kids? Just out of curiosity.
I don't know, but most of the people who say no don't have children.
Ah, makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I mean, and they forget, if anybody thinks about what decisions they made as a child. I don't know about you, but man, I made some poor choices at the age of 16, 17. I did that double perm, to look like one of the Hart sisters.
You're going to be in a big hair band.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, we all make silly mistakes when we're kids. That's the joy of being a teenager. But when it's long-lasting as opposed to a bad haircut, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, most of us, cut our sister's bangs or, right before school pictures, did something like that. But the kinds of options that are available now and how scary for parents. So, okay, if you have a parent out there who potentially is in one of those schools or areas where this is really popular, because that is, we haven't really talked about that, but this has become sort of a popularity thing for the parents. Oh, I have a trans child. It's like a social, it's kind of like I just got a new purse kind of thing. It's a little weird.
There's some virtual signaling that goes along with it. Yeah, because just like the kids, the children who say that they're trans, they are lauded and they are celebrated at school, right? They have coming out parties and they pretty much are bulletproof at school. They can turn their homework in when they feel like it. They become special. And so do the parents.
Mm-hmm.
They become special. And so it's really all about feeling good about yourself, and aren't I so progressive, and look how accepting I am. But they're putting their child up to an altar of despair. And these poor parents are going to have enormous amount of guilt. And
yeah,
they're also going to lose their children in the interim. We do have detransitioners who will not speak to their parents anymore, because their parents led them down this path and did not fight for them. Parents need to hold the line with their children. It is, we are the only ones who get our kids out of this. If you think a psychiatrist or therapist, even if you find a non-affirming one, is going to save your child, you are wrong. Parents have lost their parenting skills. We are not supposed to be friends with our children over their teenage years. We are supposed to set up boundaries. We're supposed to love them, but we are not supposed to give in to every one of their whims. And parents have lost that somewhere in the mix, where now we follow what our kids want. We don't want them to, you know, we don't ever say no to them. This is the moment in time when parents need to say no, hold the line with your child. And if you have to, pull your kid out of that public school, because these are indoctrination factories. You have to actually take really Herculean steps to safeguard your child. Parents with young kids should be telling their children every single day how great it is to be a boy or a girl, whatever their sex is, that if anybody ever tells them to lie to them that they're a bad person and come tell mommy and daddy right away, you pull your kids out of those sex ed courses at those schools. You do not allow your child to participate in that. You check out that classroom. If you see that trans flag flying in that classroom, you pull your child out of that class.
Oh, because that's probably a clue.
So, Aaron, one of our signature gatherings, we did a dine-in sign, and we got permission ahead of time from the owner of the franchise. And then the trans community got us canceled from that location by calling the corporate of the business. We ended up being able to do our signature gathering in the parking lot anyways, because if it has multiple businesses in there, then we have freedom of the ability to do that. So we were able to do that. But in the process, the trans activists came and tried to be disruptors to everybody who was signing it. And one of them was exactly what Aaron described, this lady who her pride and joy, her social outlet, yep, was her transitioning little girl, freckle-faced, adorable little girl, and she went from puberty blockers to now she's taking the testosterone.
And what is she, 10?
She looked maybe about 13, okay, is my guess. And I got a chance to talk to her. Her mom gave me permission. And I was able to look right at her and tell her that she was not born wrong and that God doesn't make mistakes. And I can't use the pronouns that she wants me to use because she's asking me to, you know, go against my religion. And I also told her that I see her as, you know, a human and a real person, and that I care about her and care about, you know, her health and things like that. And her mom was more interested in yelling at my husband, my school board husband, about things on social media than she was, you know, talking to her daughter. But the little girl looked at me and was kind of scratching her chin and going, "What? I didn't think that you were going to say that. Where is this coming from?" You know, so she's been told we hate her. She's been told that we're getting these signatures to prevent her from doing what she wants. And she said, "I love myself. I think I'm great." I said, "Well, you can't love yourself by simultaneously wanting to change yourself." And she said, "Oh, where? Oh." Like, she had no, I mean, she just couldn't believe it. So these ballot initiatives are getting these conversations started. I chalk that up as an incredible opportunity that I had that day. And I do think that maybe I've sown some seeds in there that maybe what her mom wants for her isn't always the best thing on that aspect.
That was the coolest story. And you, Katie, you are so right. Because I actually want to tell the person who threw the rock through the window that we don't hate him. And we want him to be comfortable in his male body and to be okay and to love himself enough to accept his natural body, because what you said, Katie, was so amazing, because it is about self-acceptance and about being perfect in your imperfectness, looking in the mirror and saying, I am A-okay, and I don't need medicine to fix me. And we need to keep repeating that. I have enormous sorrow for anybody who is transitioning and struggling with this. I work with parents, probably spoken to 3,000 parents at this point. Some of their kids have transitioned. So, of course, we don't hate anybody who is masquerading as the opposite sex. How could we? They could be my friend's children. It's with sorrow, and it's with compassion. And we just don't want any more children to grow up self-loathing, because that's what transgenderism is. It's self-loathing and hating themselves.
Well, now that your daughter has stepped away from all that and is older now, what's her take on it?
She doesn't like to talk about it. She's still young. She's still a minor.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure how long ago that was.
Yeah, it's a dark period in her life, and I don't know when she'll talk about it, because, there's embarrassment and there's sadness, and, something caused her to hate herself, whether it's COVID or something else. But it's hard for these kids, too. They don't ever want to talk about it ever again. They want to walk away from it.
That makes sense.
Anyway.
Yeah, that does make sense. But the good part is, as a parent, you wound up with an option. Look at the time. I mean, seriously, I had no idea. This has gone really fast, and it's been very exciting. It's been very exciting chatting with you today. More exciting than any show we've done in a really long time. Our guest has been Aaron Friday. The initiative is protectkidsca.com. I hope you will go to that site if you forgot or whatever. Go to wethepeopleradio.us, and you can download the show a little bit later this afternoon. It's free. Send it to a friend. We have no copyrights. And thank you very much for coming on with us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.